I heard that. We have baptism right afterwards, and I know some of you are painfully aware of the Chiefs kicking off at 12, but don't worry, we won't be done by 12. No, we will try. But it's a shorter message, but what a great day to come together and worship. And I know the weather's a little dreary, but it is a blessed day to celebrate what God has done for us. And today is all about the gospel. It's all about the gospel message. And Jesus gave the church two ordinances to remember the gospel. He gave communion, the Lord's Supper, and he gave baptism. And we're going to remember both of those today. And it's all about the gospel message. Both of them point to that. And I often ask people, what is the gospel? And immediately people say, well, it's the good news. I said, yes, I know that. What is the good news? What is the good news of the gospel? And communion is a wonderful declaration of what Jesus has done for us. But it's also a time for us to realign our hearts with the Holy Spirit and to basically prepare our hearts to receive, but it's to realign our lives with the gospel message. And then baptism is a public declaration of what Jesus has done in our lives. Those that are being baptized today are declaring as in front of you as witnesses that they have given their lives to Jesus as followers of Jesus. Again, but there's both the gospel. What is the gospel? It's not simply salvation. A lot of people say, well, it's how you're saved. It's what Jesus did for me and now I'm saved. It's more than that. The gospel applies, as I'm going to show today, to every aspect of our lives, every season of our lives. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn with me in your Bibles. We're not going to be digging into this passage, but it's a good reminder for us of the gospel. It's one of the most clear, succinct descriptions of the gospel that we have in the Bible. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance. This is the most important thing that we can remember and do and remember daily for our lives. It's of first importance. What I also received, and here it is, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, to an untimely born, he appeared also to me. That's the gospel message that we have. And Paul is explaining the importance of the gospel, and also the wonderful news that there are more than 500 witnesses who saw Jesus, the resurrected Lord, after he rose from the dead. The gospel. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Creator God, who took on flesh. He became a human being. He took on flesh, was born of a virgin as a baby, as we'll celebrate next month. Jesus became fully man while still being fully God. And he lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could be in our place. He went to the cruel Roman cross and died in our place, and he died. And as he died, he took on the death, the punishment for our sins that we couldn't take. God placed all his wrath on his son, Jesus, in that moment, being able to set us free from the sin, from the punishment for our sins. And Jesus was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. He is alive today. Amen. Jesus is alive, and he rose again from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven in front of his disciples. They witnessed him ascending into heaven, where today he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's not just passively sitting there. He is preparing a place for us, but he's also interceding for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's interceding for us, and the gospel says he is coming back again. He is coming again to take his church to be with him and to restore all things in the world. That's the gospel message. The way of salvation through faith in Jesus. Place your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. But how does that help us live daily? You know, a lot of people will say in a meeting when we present the gospel and say, if you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're destined to an eternity separated from God in hell. Okay, I'll accept Jesus, right? But how does that help us live? How does the gospel help us live day to day, moment by moment in this world? Every one of us has trials, challenges that we face on a daily basis. Life is hard, you may have noticed. Life is challenging. There are some challenges in life. There's sickness, there's unexpected loss, there's pain, there's trauma that happens, there's busyness, there's chaos. And then we have the bombardment of the news media telling us how we don't measure up, right? You watch television, and if you watch it for any length of time, they'll either tell you that your body shape doesn't match up, or your blood sugar doesn't match up, or your bank account doesn't match up, or your house doesn't match up to what everybody else's has, or your car somehow is inferior to everybody else's car. You don't measure up. The world constantly tells us you don't measure up. And then our social media feeds tell us that everyone else's life is perfect, right? All of your friends have perfect families, raising 2.3 perfect kids, and all of them are straight A students, and graduating top of their class. And the world is perfect on social media. And you look at social media and you say, my world is a mess. My world doesn't measure up. And then we have the temptations around us, the billboards and the ads that we see on our televisions, and the ads that pop up on our computer screens, causing us to be tempted into addictions and lusts of alcohol and pornography and gambling. And incidentally, it's about to get a lot worse in Missouri, because sports gambling is now coming into Missouri the 1st of December. Let me just tell you right at the beginning, gambling is dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's an addiction that will destroy and has destroyed many, many lives. It doesn't bring any glory to God. It's not what he's asking you to spend the money that he has given you on. And if the world doesn't beat us up enough, Satan, our accuser, tells us how we don't measure up. He reminds us of our past, and he's tempting us when we're the most vulnerable to fall into sin. How are you feeling? It's pretty discouraging, isn't it? We need the gospel every day. But how does what we've discussed here, and we've remembered through communion, we're going to see displayed through baptism, how does it help us during our busy lives? This is why it's essential that we focus on and listen frequently to the gospel message. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we gaze upon the beauty of Jesus, as we think about and meditate on the gospel message, we're transformed. The things of this world become less and less important to us. Those discouraging things become less and less discouraging to us. They become drowned out by the good news. We remember what Jesus said on the cross when he died. One of the last things that Jesus said before he died was tetelestai, which is a Greek word saying, it is finished. It is paid in full. This weekend, and I didn't even think I was going to mention it in this message, but I sent Rich a text. We had to pay one of the church bills for the licenses for our media that we use. And so I used the church credit card, and I just wanted to send him a text to say it's paid. And I said, tetelestai, it's paid in full. And then he sent me back a text really quickly and said, yeah, but next year we'll have to pay it again. Yes. The gospel, we don't have to ask to have it paid again. It's paid in full. It's always paid in full. And it will always be paid in full. There's no going back to, oh, Lord, you have to do this again for me. No, it is paid in full for all eternity. That's the good news.
Amen.
So I want to quickly today look at three different ways that the gospel gives us life and peace. Firstly, we look at the past. The gospel gives us freedom from the past. As we go through life, we accumulate baggage, right? We experience pain, we experience hurt, we experience trauma of things done to us, and we also experience trauma of things that have not been done to us, things that have been omitted from our lives, that have hurt us, rejection. There's physical abuse as well, baggage from things done to us. And then we carry the guilt and the embarrassment of the things that we've done that we're ashamed of. Those things that we carry with us, the regret and the pain that we've caused other people, the secret sins, the shame of things that only we know about. That baggage builds, and it overwhelms us. It becomes a load that we carry. And sometimes that baggage that we carry leads to more sin. It leads to hopelessness. But the gospel frees us from that. The gospel frees us from that. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, in one, arguably the greatest chapter in the Bible, is Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Listen to this promise. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, followers of Jesus. What a promise. What an incredible promise. No more accuser if you're in Christ. Those being baptized today are saying, I am in Christ. That's their testimony to you, and we can hold them to. They're covered by his righteousness, and they're set free from sin, set free from shame. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's what it means to be in Christ. That great chapter, Romans 8, it ends with the promise that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What an incredible promise. It's the most freeing thing in the world to realize that what we are in Christ, our past is not held against us. It is paid for. We're free. We are truly free. And then what about the present? Well, I believe the gospel gives us power to live in the present. The power to live today. I mentioned earlier, there's no shortage of ways that we're told we don't measure up. There's no shortage of people that can come and accuse you and say, you don't measure up in this level, in that area of your life, right? There is no shortage of that. And maybe like me, you're one of those people that like to keep people happy, right? I'm a people pleaser, and it's not a good thing because I cannot please everyone, right? The more you try to please people, the more angry people get at you. It doesn't work. And maybe you feel like everyone's watching you, everyone's judging you. Maybe you feel like no matter how hard you try, you're failing. So how does the gospel help with that? John, in the opening verses of his gospel, so the gospel of John, the first chapter, is all about Jesus, the Word. And verse 16 and 17, he says, for from his fullness, this is the fullness of Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. That doesn't mean to say because we've received grace, we can carry on living however we want and continue to sin as much as we want. No. It means that right now, where you sit, there's an outpouring of grace from heaven on your life. The grace of God is constantly being poured onto your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. immeasurable grace pouring down. It's the miracle of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Spirit of Christ. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. The grace of the gospel is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We can be thankful this week because God's faithfulness over us. Next time you're struggling in those darkest and hardest moments of your life, those challenges of your daily life, remember that the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit resides in you if you're a child of God. You have the presence of God in all His fullness in your life. There's grace filling you with grace. Jared Wilson wrote, and this is really powerful, grace means we have the power to experience joy amidst suffering, hope in the depths of pain, obedience in the face of temptation, and forgiveness in the aftermath of sin. Grace means we have the power to experience joy amidst suffering, hope in the depths of pain, obedience in the face of temptation, and forgiveness in the aftermath of sin. That's grace. This is the power and the promise of the gospel. It's for today. It's for now. Every unexpected experience that you go through, any loss you go through, pain that you go through today, there's grace. Wilson went on to write, in yourself, you're worse than you think, actually. But wonder of wonders, in Christ, you're more loved than you can ever realize. We are loved. You're loved more than you will ever realize. That's for today. That's for now. But what about the future? You see, God, we know He frees us from the past and He gives us grace for today and strengthens us for today. But what about the future? In our 21st century culture, it's rare to find someone that's not anxious. It's very rare to find a person that truly can say, I have no anxiety. There's nothing bothering me. Will I have enough retirement income? What if I get sick? Will my children find a good spouse? What if I lose my job? What if my boss actually finds out I have no idea what I'm doing? There's so many things we can worry about. What about, what if the world descends into Third World War, nuclear chaos? What if, what if, what if? None of us know what tomorrow holds, and Satan loves to play on that and to feed us with fears of what if. Most of which will never materialize. I've actually flown a lot in my life, and I'm an anxious traveler. I'm not anxious about flying. I enjoy flying, but I'm very stressed and anxious every time I go to the airport. I have a fear of missing the flight, so I get there early. I am afraid that somehow they've messed up my ticket and I won't be allowed onto the plane. Or get through the gates. Or I get turned back at security. I don't know. I'm just anxious until I get to the gate. You know the truth is? None of that's ever happened. I have lost my baggage frequently, but that's a side story. But I've never been denied access to the plane. It doesn't matter how much I'm nervous about it and anxious about it, they still allow me on the plane. We're controlled by fear. Fear of the unknown, and if we don't have anything to fear, Satan loves to feed us with things to be afraid of. The world loves to feed us things to be afraid of. How many of you have heard of the comet that's flying through our solar system right now called 3I Atlas? And if you haven't paid attention, it's been all over the news, at least on my news feed. You can see how bent my mind is, the news feeds that I listen on or watch on my phone. But apparently this comet is a really strange oblong-shaped comet that came into our solar system at extremely high speed. And because of its shape and because of the way it looks, they're saying, the conspiracy theorists said, it's definitely an alien spaceship, and it's coming to invade the Earth, and we've got to watch this. And as it came closer to the sun, its tail, which, you know, the tail of the comet is gases that get burned off off the rock. The tail of the comet changed color. They said, yes, it's definitely an alien spaceship. You see, it's using different thrusters in its trajectory across the solar system. Well, good news, it's on its way out of the solar system. And it hasn't passed the Earth, the closest point yet, but it's on its way out of the solar system. Again, there's nothing to be afraid of, because Jesus has paid the price for our future. We by nature fear the worst, but the gospel is the best news. It's the good news. For yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the gospel declares that the creator and the sustainer of the universe holds all things together, and he holds the future together as well. The future is in his hands, and more than that, he has promised he's coming back again. And he's coming back for his church, the followers of Jesus, to free us from this world of death. We can live in freedom. We can live in hope. We can live in faith. Whatever God calls us to, he will carry us through. Our future is secure because the gospel, we can live by faith. We can live bold lives, taking bold steps of faith, because we know our Savior has won the victory. Again, a promise from Romans chapter 8, verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Bible's full of incredible promises for the future. The gospel really is about freedom. It's really about freedom. Freedom from shame from the past, freedom from the pain of today, and freedom from fear for tomorrow. So how do you need the gospel applied to your life today? Are you carrying shame that you need to leave at the foot of the cross today? Because you can leave it today at the foot of the cross. Are you dealing with pain and challenges today that you need the grace of the Lord over your life today, that you need to bring to Jesus? Or you're fearful about tomorrow, paralyzed where you are because you're afraid of something that hasn't materialized and probably never will. Unable to dream, let us bring us all to Jesus today. Maybe you've never seen the gospel as something that you need in your life. Maybe you've never applied the gospel to your life. Maybe you've never made the decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. I want to invite you today to make that decision, to begin to live in the freedom of the gospel. So as we close, I want to invite the worship team to come back up, and Eric is going to take over as I take the baptismal candidates to go and get baptized upstairs. So, and the worship team will come up, but our ministry team will be up here too as Eric leads us. And if the Lord is speaking to you today about any area of your life that you want to experience the freedom of the gospel over, you're struggling with that today, please come and pray with someone as the worship team plays. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this reminder of the gospel message, that it is for our yesterday, it's for today, and it's for our future. And we pray, Lord, that you would ingrain that in our lives, that we live under the grace of the gospel every moment of every day. Lord, I pray that you would release us from fear. There's people here today that are anxious about tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you would set us free by your promises, by your faithfulness, by your grace. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and every one of us. And those, maybe who do not know you as Lord and Savior today, Lord, I pray that this would be the day of salvation. This would be the day of freedom. Draw us to yourself, we pray. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.